Hello and welcome to this quick catch up with Amanda Bennett from Fair Play. It's a quick call ahead of our Sport Wales Learning Series, which is coming up on the 13th, 20th and 27th of May. So it's just an opportunity to sit down with Amanda and have a bit of a chat ahead of her session on inclusive leadership. So Amanda, just the first thing for me really is around EDI. I hear it as a statement and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that.
That's a really good question. And good morning to you, Claire. Yes, we talk about EDI all here, D&I, or we E&D, and it's nice and easy, isn't it? And sometimes we wonder whether some of the terminology is a little bit interchangeable. But generally, when we look at that, we look at diversity. We talk about difference, people who are different, and that's, you know, that there are as many differences as there are people. But if we look at it in the context of advantage or disadvantage, inclusion, exclusion, and so on, it really is about recognizing, understanding, valuing, and proactively taking account of people's different backgrounds, experiences. Some of these differences may be visible, some maybe not. And in the context of legislation, we have protected characteristics. So there are 9 of them, and we're familiar with most of them around sex, male and female, sexual orientation, ability, disability, ethnically diverse communities, and so on and so forth. So, and that's why it's really important to talk about visible and not so visible difference. So somebody might be hard of hearing, but you wouldn't know that. They might be dyslexic, but you wouldn't necessarily know that. And so it's trying to consider that somebody, instead of somebody is automatically the same, they might be different in some way. And being sensitive to that, even if you don't yet know it, if you see what I mean. But it's recognizing, understanding, and that's the key. Do we really understand the experiences of LGBT people? Now, if we're not walking in their shoes, what can we do to better understand that? Can we build our knowledge around it so that when we find ourselves volunteering or working next to somebody from an LGBT community, we have some understanding what their experiences might be, and we can treat them in a way that is, we move on to the next one, inclusive. So if we really understand the differences, whether their own experiences or we take time to find out, mm-hmm. then we're more likely to offer inclusive workspaces, spaces where people can play, coach, officiate, and so on in sports specifically. And being inclusive is about paying due regard. Quite often we hear, we treat people fairly regardless of gender, regardless of disability. Actually, let's just flip that. What we want you to do is to pay due regard, to acknowledge, to be aware, because that's when you're more likely to create a space when they feel comfortable. And that's critical to inclusion or inclusivity, which is a term we're hearing more these days. So it's paying due regard to diverse characteristics. Yes, treating them fairly and respectfully, providing them equal access. Now, the old adage used to be for a sports club was you can provide equal access if you build a disability toilet. We are going back, 20, 30 years to the original Disability Discrimination Act of 1995. Mm-hmm. And then as things have evolved around reasonable adjustments. So it's not the same access. It's equal access. It's different access, but it's equal. And that's how you include people. And that's a very basic example in terms of facilities. But then we move on to behaviours. And it used to be discrimination or exclusion could be quite overt. Mm-hmm. It could be quite visible that you're not welcome here. And it was very hard to prove that. But we have evolved. We're much more sophisticated in our approaches. A, we are more likely to challenge. A, B, we're more likely to, before we challenge, to see what's occurring here, that there is discrimination, exclusion, etc. More likely to challenge. The courts are more likely to uphold it. Mm-hmm. So what's happened is that discrimination or exclusion has become a little more covert. And that is around our language, our behaviours, and how we treat people. So we no longer would say, we're not going to appoint you into this role because you are female, because you're from an ethnic diverse community, because of a disability. We're going to find other reasons for that. And it does happen. It is happening. So we really want to build that sense of belonging. And in we talk about psychological safety these days, isn't it? Somebody from the LGBT community, almost 2/3 will not come out at work because they're not sure they feel safe. So our leaders, through policy, behaviour and repeated messages, need to say, we're going to make everybody feel comfortable here. Mm-hmm. And lastly, if you get that, if you understand difference, if you are proactive, and it really does take some effort to be inclusive as an organisation, then you are probably going to create genuine equality of opportunity, mm-hmm. where people can access senior roles in the workplace, where they want to come and volunteer in your club, where they want to be a coach and so on and so forth, because they feel a sense of belonging, they feel safe, and they think, yes, I can do this because this organisation has made it clear to me. So, quite a bit of a journey through the three there, but they are not interchangeable. They are different.
Thank you, Amanda. And I love the way you approached it, in a different way. So it breaks down that kind of quick roll of the tongue. Yes, we do EDI. It's like, no, OK, let's look at those individually and really understand the component parts. So for me there, you touched on what we could do sort of within leadership. So you mentioned inclusive leadership. So what is inclusive leadership to you?
Well, I think, first of all, inclusive leadership now is more important than ever. It's more important than ever. I mean, we've been talking about it for a while. We're talking about diverse leadership, inclusive leadership. Of course, they're different things. But if you think about the events of the last sort of 15 months or so, they've shone a spotlight on inequality. Mm-hmm. From the death of George Floyd, the effects of the pandemic. We've seen how different groups experience disadvantage, and that's everything from homeschooling for men and women, who is most likely to take up flexible working, who's more likely to actually stop working for a while. Yeah. And then the disproportionate effects of COVID on different groups, including people in ethnically diverse communities or those in particular types of jobs. Now then, that's the effects, if you like. Yeah. If we have an inclusive leadership approach and organisationally, right at the top of the organisation, there'll be an understanding of the potential impacts of, say, for example, the pandemic on different groups, so understanding diversity, and then taking steps as a board member, as a chair, as a chief exec, as an executive director in one of your departments. What have you done to challenge this? What have you done to ensure that you maintain inclusivity in light of the fact that these specific events are having drastic and disadvantageous effects on particular groups? Mm-hmm. So that's an inclusive leader. We'll see this and respond to this, or better still, plan for it. And of course, people who work in this sport haven't been immune to this.
Yeah.
And we've been thinking more deeply about our own organisation. So whether we're paid or unpaid, we've been wondering, is my sport inclusive? What do our senior people say about this? Mm-hmm. What does inclusion look like for me as a volunteer? What does it look like for me when I go to work or I'm sitting on a Zooms meeting? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And that's where inclusion really comes to the fore, because claiming to be an inclusive organisation is only valid if the people in your organisation feel included. It's not something you give, it's not something you just write and say, we're inclusive, there we go, job done, yep. Get back to court. Only if people feel like they are, will you be aware that you are an inclusive organisation, and that's led by the top.
Brilliant, thank you, Amanda. And I like what you said there about, what can you do? So in that sort of leadership position, not sort of waiting for others, what is it within your gift to make a difference on? So sort of looking ahead then to the learning series, you're going to be running one session twice. There's two opportunities to come and join you. So what do we have to look forward to in that session?
Looking forward to it, yeah. Bringing up, well, I'm looking forward to it because I always enjoy these sessions. I would enjoy talking to people about this, and it will be interactive, straight up. I don't enjoy lecturing, and people don't enjoy listening to me lecturing. So we're looking at an interactive session. So yes, we'll look at equality, diversity and inclusion. In particular, we want to explore the diversity and the positive impact of diverse leadership. So let's be clear about this. So diverse leadership, as in what is the composition of your leadership teams, and to what extent, you know, diversity really supercharges decision making and the positive impact can have on how you run your business. So that, you know, the business case for diversity is more powerful than ever. So we'll have a little look at that and say, you know, have a look at your organization. Are you diverse? And then we will talk about inclusive leadership behaviors. How do people with leadership responsibilities habitually, and this is key, it's not a one-off, it's not a short-term campaign or response to a high profile event. We need to do something about inclusion. Set up a group. Set up a group and let's talk about it. Give them a year. It's about how people develop behavioural habits where diversity and inclusion and understanding equality of opportunity at the forefront of their thinking. Mm-hmm. And the aim of the session is for participants to actually consider their own self-awareness as well as, you know, we will be encouraging people to talk about their own experiences. It'd be brilliant for people to come to the session and talk about where they have experienced inclusive leadership and inclusive organisations and be able to explain and articulate why something worked. And can you imagine if, you know, 20 people in the room and they're all telling each other about, well, this, I'm involved with X and this is how we do things. I go, brilliant. You know, the multiplier effect of good practice would be absolutely fantastic. So we'll be encouraging that. Mm-hmm. Yes, it'll be about policies and processes and some of the institutional factors, but I'm really keen for people in the session to share their thoughts and to think about the effects that they have. So if you're a pebble dropped in a pond, what's the ripple effect of you? And then specifically the ripple effect of you in your leadership role on everybody around you. So it's going to be a bit of a packed program, but I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from the people in the room.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, Amanda. And I love that comment. You know, if you're a pebble dropped in a pond, what's your ripple effect? I think that's a great sort of line and question to leave everyone with. So thank you for your time today. And I look forward to seeing you on the sessions coming up in May. Take good care.
Thank you very much, Claire. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.